Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world. So welcome to the 566th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is 2022 Ending Endgame Update Number 30. And a little bit later in this message, folks, we're going to tie it all into three incredible truths about the saving faith of Jesus Christ. Now, this faith, it must be operating in you if you're going to have victory in Jesus. You know, the Bible says in Habakkuk 3, verse 17 and 18, that although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Hey, folks, doesn't that sound like what's going on right now with the food shortages and all of the scare tactics being used by the establishment? Well, I hope you stay tuned to learn how we can rejoice in our Savior even as the world crumbles around us. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just God's people. And what are we doing, folks? We're just passing through. So stay tuned to find out the latest news that the lying fake news will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, how'd this all start? Where did it all begin? Well, it all started with this lab-engineered, yes, lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, folks, let's look at something from a past episode. Now, this time, we're going to go back. We're going to go back a while. We're going to go back to January 30th, 2021. It was SDG message number 487, titled Election 2020, Update Number 10. And we played this following dire warning from none other than Dr. Dolores Cahill. Now, Dr. Dolores was one of the early whistleblowers. She's a professor at a university, or was a professor in the university over in Ireland, warning about the dangers and the people that would start dying from these mRNA death jabs. So let's have a listen to this 3-minute, 43-second clip that we've played several times here on the show, first back at the beginning of 2021, warning of the dangers of this death jab.
So this is a paper from, I think, 2012 in PLOS One, and its immunization with SARS coronavirus vaccine leads to pulmonary immunopathology unchallenging with the SARS virus. So the issue when you inject messenger RNA was that if it had a protein from the virus, like the spike protein, this plus positive RNA can go into our cells. The spike protein from the virus is expressed in our cells and may be exposed to the immune system when those cells die and the body starts mounting an immune response, including an antibody response. But then, so say if that happens in December and people would start doing that straight away, so within 2 or 3 weeks, that process would start. But if in February, March, April, another coronavirus is circulating naturally in 2021, that would be like a challenge with the natural, the SARS is one of the natural coronaviruses, or it could even be the common cold. That what happened in this study is that the animal models, after being challenged, got very sick and that some of them died. so that it says, the last line of the abstract said, caution in proceeding to the application of a SARS-CoV vaccine in humans is indicated. And so the name for this thing is antibody-dependent response, or cytokine storm, or immunopriming, or immune superpriming. You know, so this is why there has been no vaccine for decades licensed for coronavirus, is because you get this issue that the messenger RNA starts expressing the virus, and then when it comes across the natural circulating coronavirus, could be a month or a year or 2 years down the road, that then the people get very, very ill very quickly with this cytokine storm. And they also saw this in a respiratory vaccine, RSV. If you see it in the middle of the screen here, sorry, that's given to the children. Where if you look at halfway down the paragraph, most of the children who were giving this RSV vaccine, which had the same issue, most of the children experienced severe disease with infection that led to a high frequency of hospitalizations, and 2 children out of 35 died. And the conclusion from this was that the disease was enhanced by the prior vaccination. So what people need to know is that with these RNA vaccines, is that after you're vaccinated for the rest of your life, you will have much higher death as in the children in this study because you were vaccinated. And why I came out with this in May 2020 is that the people may not make the connection. And what we do not want is that if there is significant death, we'll say in February, March, April next year, that is called COVID-19 or COVID-21, that we will have to monitor if the people who are dying, and there is predictions, that's why they are having the tender for large amounts of adverse events from the vaccine, is that if there is increased death, it is well known, and we don't want those deaths to be called COVID-19 or COVID-21. They are this issue about vaccine making people more sick and have a higher chance of death, not because of the circulating virus, but because of the vaccination weeks or months ahead.
So, folks, we've been talking about this since the beginning of 2020. This particular clip was posted on the 3rd of 2021, and Dr. Cahill had given this interview back in May of 2020. So we've been warning about this now coming up on 2 years, but there's more. Okay, so Dr. Cahill talks about the cytokine storm, the immune priming, these immune system related dysfunctions that occur from the death. There's so much more now they're seeing with regard to adverse effects. These death jabs also contain some sort of self-assembling nanotechnology, probably for the whole transhumanistic effect that you're hearing coming out of the WEF. There's these blood clots. There's the graphene oxides that, regrettably, I've been involved with in terms of developing catalysis substrates on fiberglass for the manufacture of these things. There's also the prion disease. There's the toxic materials that Mike Adams and others are bringing out now. You know, this dire warning from Dr. Cahill has been vindicated. Yet, sadly, it's not one of those types of vindications that you want to jump up for joy over. Now, since giving this dire warning, Dr. Cahill's career has all been destroyed. You know, she's no longer a professor at that university. She has been disparaged. She's had death threats upon her. But just look at the weekly CDC weekly death reports. Okay, they were status quo throughout the entire scamdemic. And I'm calling up a screen capture I did. And you can go in on cdc.org. I'll call it up right now and just see if I can give you the address. Go to the CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. What a joke, huh? And there's a screen or a page called Daily Updates by Totals by Week and by State. And they report what the standard or expected deaths were. And then they show you where they are relative to the expected death. And the spikes actually occur post-vaccination. So with the exception of one spike early on during the scamdemic, and I think that could have come from what they were doing with the nursing homes and the malfeasance. There's no other word, folks. It was malfeasance. They were saying, well, unless you're bad enough to need a respirator, just go home and weather the storm. There was no early treatment. So besides that spike early on in the scamdemic, which kind of got the whole thing in motion and everybody started to get scared and fear was the driver, outside of that, the percent of expected deaths until the advent of the death jab was pretty normal. But then look after that on that page, and you're going to see spikes as high as 40 or 50% per week. You know, this reminds me of a book written by Jim Mars, his last book, Population Control, How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us. And I'm telling you, it's very good. We've interviewed him in the past on Tribulation Now. Now, we didn't do it about this book. We did it about one of his other ones concerning conspiracy. But in this particular book, Jim, God rest his soul, looked into the National Security Study Memorandum 200, also known as NSSM 200. And we've talked about it earlier on the show. This was a document created by President Richard Nixon's National Security Council back in 1974. But more on all this in Back to the Future. Right now, I'd like to bring what we talked about with Dr. Dolores Cahill's dire warning up to the present time. Now, this is Bill Still, a former journalist who's now out there in the alt media doing great documentarian-type work and publishing articles exposing the deep state, the Luciferians, and the puppet masters. Listen to him reporting on Dolores Cahill.
Good evening. I'm still reporting on the coup. Professor Dolores Cahill was the first to predict that if the medical world ever created a messenger RNA vaccine, or mRNA, for humans, that many people would die, not necessarily right at first, but in the months and years following the injection. This interview with Professor Cahill was posted on Rumble on August 18, 2022. Possibly on one of Dr. Charlie Ward's channels. I quickly copied it, and within 48 hours it disappeared. Professor Cahill is an Irish molecular biologist and immunologist. As with many of us who spoke out early in opposition to COVID treatments, mask mandates, and the draconian lockdown strategy created by China and disseminated around the world, Professor Cahill suffered extreme professional and personal retaliation. She was forced to resign her position as vice chair of the scientific committee of the Innovative Medicines Initiative, or IMI, a partnership between the European Commission and drug manufacturers designed to promote new drugs. She was also censored by social media corporations to the point where she called herself the most censored citizen in Ireland. In May of 2020, she said in an interview, anyone who's over 70 who gets one of these mRNA vaccines will probably sadly die within about 2 to 3 years. And I would say anyone who gets the mRNA injection, no matter what age you are, you will die at an earlier than normal age. If you're in your 30s, within 5 to 10 years, and you probably will have allergy, neurocognitive issues, inflammation, and of course, infertility is a major one. In August of 2021, the British government issued an arrest warrant for her arrest for speaking at an outdoor rally held in Trafalgar Square. I don't know who the guy is who interviewed her. Obviously, he's not a medical professional, just a concerned citizen. It should be illegal to interfere with someone telling the truth, as Professor Cahill did in this interview. We present it as a public service.
Gosh, golly, gosh.
That's right, Gomer. These deep state, the Luciferians, the puppet masters, whatever you want to call them, Gomer, we've got to stop being so trusting and so naive concerning these evil, wicked people. Establishment. They don't have our best interests at heart, folks. They truly don't. But there is some good news. If you've taken the jab or two or three, maybe you didn't get the actual one. Maybe you got the saline solution. You know, we've covered this in the past. Pfizer actually has three different lot categorizations of these various experiments. One of them is nothing but a saline solution. That may be one reason why you don't see many people, or I shouldn't say many, but you see there are people out there who are completely normal after getting it. So that's one hopeful thing. Another one is there are some people out there suggesting some various detox methods if it's not too late. Now, I don't know if they work or not. You got to remember, this is a challenge to your own immune system. It's been compromised by this biochemical weapon. This isn't some hoax virus, folks. I mean, this entire germ theory, we've covered this before. Very good science. There's a lot of assumptions. The terrain theory that's out there is actually just or even more viable. You know, these viruses fit the definition of an exome. And we've covered all that before. You know, the truth is that a virus outside of one tobacco virus 100 years ago or 120 years ago has never been isolated and identified to actually cause the suspected disease. We talked about during the Spanish flu of 1918. They were unable to take a sick person and use any kind of saliva or mucus or any, I mean, and I know this sounds gross, folks, but they weren't able to use any body fluid from these infected or sick people to infect volunteers in the Navy, I believe it was. So a virus has never been isolated and identified, according to Koch's postulates, in a four-step process where you have to take a specimen who is sick, extract some of their DNA or bodily fluids, infect another host, isolate that, and identify it as what was injected or inoculated in the experiment. It's never been done, folks. Germ theory is a Rothschild hoax, folks, along with the entire establishment medical system. Your immune system, if it's working well, will prevent any form of contagion from making you diseased. You know, we don't need big modern pharma and all their allopathic poisons. God gave us all sorts of natural remedies and cures. Now, I'm not going to group all of allopathic medicine in there. There are some good things they do. They're very good with neonatal care, prenatal care. They're very good if you need an operation. And I'm not talking about cutting out a tumor, although sometimes you have to do that. I'm talking about if something needs to be reconstructed, if something needs to be repaired. They're also very good with some of the early antibiotics. You know, microbes are real, folks. Bacteria is real. 1,000 times larger than these viral or exomal particles. That's what Big Pharma is good for. That's what Big Medicine is good for. But as far as your body healing, you know, there's the old saying, physician, heal thyself. And that's really what we need to be doing, folks. But I don't want to continue to talk about this. We have a lot to cover. And right now it's time for Sister Kathy and Brother Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. Just a quick update. I heard from Sister Kathy. She's using her mother's email. That's why I haven't been hearing from her. Her computer went down. She lost her security features to get her email reestablished, and she's using her mother's. So praise the Lord, she's still there plugging along, and we have Brother Alex helping now too. And as we start every week, let's get started with the coronavirus heist.
It's a scandemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except that for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know all their lies and mind control.
You know, folks, I took a lot of grief when I first put this little rap video up. What was it, over 2 years ago now? I took a lot of grief, but everything I said in there, everything, praise the Lord, it's been vindicated. Now, as we've been doing each week for the past month or so, we're doing a sudden adult death syndrome update, and we're including teenagers in that now, too. From Citizen Free Press, this teenager from Methaton High School in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, right here in the good state or Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Owen Cody, a 16-year-old, a junior, should have been a junior, playing frisbee with his dad and his uncle when he suddenly fell to the ground. Now, they tried to give him CPR immediately. They had first responders there very quickly, yet sadly, young Owen died. Folks, this healthy yet vaccinated 16-year-old is dead after a friendly frisbee session with his dad and uncle. Folks, things like this never happened before. And if they did, it would have been all over the news. This tragic loss of a young life, yet it's happening all over now, leaving behind his parents, Adam, and I just forgot his mother's name, and his older sister. Yet none in the media would dare say, could it be from the jab that he took? You know, there's a lesson here, folks. A little jab will do you. It'll do you in for good. Just remember that. And then how about the 49-year-old high school principal and former Super Bowl champion of the New England Patriots, George White High School principal in Virginia. And this was a Super Bowl champion from 2001, died unexpectedly. Mr. Riddick T. Parker was just out for a bike ride on August 19th at his home in Chesterfield, Virginia, when he dropped dead. And again, this is an unexplained death. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. It's sick. It's happening. And the media and the establishment, they're turning a blind eye on it. Well, for the most part. Remember, there was that European Parliament member, Christine Anderson, who called it what it is. Listen to her call it. Literally, crime against humanity.
This vaccine campaign, it will go down as the biggest scandal in medical history, and moreover, it will be known as the biggest crime ever committed on humanity.
That's what it is, folks, a crime against humanity. In fact, do you know why there was never a vaccine for the common cold? The common cold, SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome, these are all respiratory diseases, whatever they are, virus or terrain, whatever. They affect your respiratory system. Now, here's a fact I'm going to give you. Did you know that our immune system that governs our respiratory system is unique and completely isolated from our internal immune system within our core, within our gut, within our body, our blood system? That means that our respiratory system cannot receive any information whatsoever from blood vessels, which are the internal immune system used to create the necessary defense our body needs to protect against any kind of invading disease or virus or bacteria. Now, I've known this for years, but I've really never thought about it. So I did a little bit of research, and I stumbled on this article out on the NIH.gov, you know, where all the published articles and medical books are. You can go out there. It's a great resource. And anytime you want to research this, you know, they haven't got complete control over this yet, so it's all out there. But it talks in this book. It's on the NCBI bookshelf. It's a book on immunobiology. And they talk about the mucosal immune system and distinguish it from some of the other immune systems. So there's this compartment in our body which takes care of our respiration, and it's separate from our digestive system. It's separate from our internal organs, and it interfaces at the blood capillary interface. But what's very unique about it is it has its own system of immune control, and it's referred to with the acronym MALT, M-A-L-T, which is the immune let me get this right here. I wrote it down. Let me see. Where did I put it? I cannot find it. It's the mucosal immune system. And I don't know why they use the term MALT. I don't have it in my notes here. but it's the first line of defense against any type of respiratory attack. So if you breathe in a pathogen, if you breathe in dust, your respiratory system has all these different ways to keep the invaders out of your system, so to speak. Okay? Now, the second system is your lymphatic system, and it's separate and restricted, and it has these compartments, and it expresses the it allows the disease, the pathogen, to come out. Then you also have a distinct mucosal system in your GI tract. And then within your circulatory system, you have another one with the white blood cells, and they kind of work in conjunction with the lymphocytes. But this gets really deep. I'm just trying to tell you this entire idea of putting a jab into your system to protect you against a respiratory type of distress is just bad science. So now I'm actually hearing people talking about ones that you can breathe. You know, we are people who love our pets, and we have two standard poodles now. And when we have to board a dog, there's this Bordella virus, or this, they call it kennel cough, that you can see your dogs get, especially when they're around strange dogs. And the way you administer that is through the nasal passage of the dog. Isn't that interesting, folks? That's to protect, to legitimately protect, or so they say, against kennel cough. Just saying, folks. You know, these are very troubling times, and at times a good laugh's really a great way to break all the tension. So what I would like to do right now is share a rather long clip, 7 minutes or so, from J.P. Sears, the commentator and comedian who has the podcast known as Awaken with J.P. And in this particular clip, and by the way, this man has over a million views on just about anything he does, either on his podcast or out on his, Twitter? I'm not sure. I think he's been banned from Twitter. But on one of the other social media accounts, JP just really gets the attention. And I think he's a great vehicle because he uses humor to communicate some very serious facts. So take a listen to this. Concerning the unknown causes of death, he even refers to them in this clip as SADS.
Good evening. People are dropping like flies from a mysterious killer called unknown cause of death. So tonight we're bringing you a special report on this unknown cause of death killer so we can steer your thinking in the right direction. I like it when a good plan comes together. Unknown cause of death has even become the leading cause of death in Alberta, Canada, which is ruled over by Justin Trudeau. So just use your imagination on that correlation. In Alberta, unknown cause of death is causing even more deaths than heart disease, strokes, and diabetes combined. For a little more perspective, let's throw it over to a guy with an accent from our sister station in the UK.
The leading cause of death in Alberta is now, go on, take a guess, take a wild guess, cancer, heart disease, no, the leading cause of death is cause unknown.
Unknown causes was the leading cause of death in Alberta last year. That category leads the way over dementia, which has been in the top spot since 2016.
You better hope you don't contract unknown cause of death, because there's a lot of people dying from it. Let's hear more.
A couple of years ago, unknown cause of death was unknown. There were just a mere 500 or so, if you ever look at this graphic of unknown causes. Look at that. 2019, there were just 500 unknown causes of death. Now it's 3,362. The leading cause of death is unknown. You're more likely to die from an unknown cause in a first world society than anything else. There's a lot of unknown cause going around. What are the early symptoms? The warning signs of unknown cause? Beats me, nobody knows. That's why they call it unknown cause. What's causing all this unknown cause of death? Is it climate change? Transphobia? Or could it be...
No, it couldn't. We'll take it from here, buddy. As you saw in the video clip, compared to the number of deaths from unknown causes back in 2019, before the world changed, and thank you for all the improvements, New World Order, there's now 7 times more unknown cause of death deaths. And it would astonish you to find out how much we're not looking into what's causing the drastic rise of unknown cause of death. And we don't need to, because when we look at dead people, we can see that what caused their death was an unknown cause. That pretty much gets to the bottom of it, right? The deaths are caused by cause unknown. And the Thought Police want you to know that any further questioning will lower your social credit score. And when looking at the numbers from Alberta, we can see there are 49% more deaths caused by unknown cause of death than there are deaths caused by... And given that Carvo has given our leaders very good reason to keep us in a never-ending pandemic, you might be wondering, will they declare a pandemic emergency for this even deadlier killer? The answer is no. While this one is killing more people, it isn't really something to worry about. Trust us, we're telling you everything you need to know. We might as well just sweep this one under the rug because we wouldn't want to unnecessarily scare you. We wouldn't do a thing like that. And please don't look into this on your own. This just in. The CEO of Pfizer, who is quadruple boosted, has contracted COVID. I wonder how we got it. Back to the news. How can you protect yourself from this very deadly and specific killer called unknown cause of death? We'll tell you that in a moment. But first, let's take a look at some heartwarming news of athletes collapsing and dying on the field from heart issues. One America News Network, who are conspiracy theorists, and we're getting them shut down, reported that from March 2021 to March 2022, 769 athletes collapsed on the playing field from cardiac issues. The average age of those athletes is 23, kind of young for heart issues. Until now, it's just kind of a new normal at this stage. Let's take a closer look at how normal this is. As you can see, 500% more soccer players in Europe are dropping dead from heart attacks compared to 1 year ago. Why are all these young athletes dying from heart issues? Well, here's UK football legend Matt Le Tissier with some perspective.
The last year, it's just been unbelievable how many people, not just footballers, sports people in general, you know, about tennis players, about cricketers, basketball players, just how many are just keeling over. And at some point, surely you have to say, this isn't right. This needs to be investigated.
Don't worry, Matt. We're on it. And we have all the answers as to why these young athletes are dying from heart issues. We've looked into what we want you to think, and it turns out that both being young and exercising are now bad for your heart. Because these are young professional athletes in extremely good physical condition, which is bad for their hearts because it means they have both risk factors. Makes sense, right? No questions? Shut up. So if you exercise, we advise you to stop your self-destructive habit immediately because you're putting yourself at great risk because it's bad for your heart. You should have been listening to the body positivity movement all along because obesity is now good for your heart. We can only hope that our well-intentioned authorities will once again shut down all gyms in order to protect your health. Case closed, right, Thought Police?
I'd have to laugh at that.
So once you start trying not to be young and stop exercising, what further steps can you take to protect yourself from unknown cause of death, the number one killer in Alberta? Well, the best protection is knowing about unknown cause of death. So here's how it works. Medically speaking, it works by way of a mechanism that just kind of gets you, and then you're dead. So if you see it, don't go near it. You can also call the mysterious killer by another name, SADS, Sudden Adult Death Syndrome, which makes it sound more official and less tyrannical. Aside from those pieces of very helpful knowledge, you also want to continue obediently listening to us as we tell you what to do, because we'll always steer you in the direction we want you to go while telling you it's in your best interest. That's it for tonight's special report on unknown cause of death. If your favorite athletes are still alive, watch them now while you can. The people who control us at the media publicly advocate for reducing the world's population. Don't think too much about that. We're hiding everything in plain sight. And here's Klaus Schwab on the beach wearing women's lingerie with no pubes, because why not? Good night.
You know, folks, this unknown cause of death that we must never question, absolutely never question, has wiped out over a dozen Canadian doctors in a very short time span. That's why he kept referring to Alberta. Remember, we've reported on that here on SDG. Now, there are two things that get under my skin, and even people in the know are doing it, and they know better, and they do it every day. They refer to this jab as a vaccine, and it's not. It's not even a gene therapy, because therapies are therapeutic, which implies benefit. These are bioweapons. Let's call them what they are. And the second thing that just drives me crazy, it's like when you take your nails and you just run them on a chalkboard, is when I hear people refer to the United States of America as a democracy. Folks, it's not a democracy, it's a republic. But I'm just ranting. But like I said, when I hear people say either of these things, it's like nails on a chalkboard to me. Now, on a serious note, folks, to those of you, like I said, who took a jab or two or three or four and may still be alive, and there are many, because you heard what the predictions are from Dr. Cahill, and even in some of the humor there that JP had, it takes time. This is a degradation process. Bill Still in the Still Report also mentioned it. But anyways, there are some antidotes that people are talking about, some detox methods. And I'm continuing to research this, and when I see some good things, I'll report it. But right now, I just can't process all of it. I don't know what's real and what's not. Just remember, this is a bio attack with a spike protein technology and a nanotechnology for the assemblage of what's starting to look like electronic circuits. Now, we talked about some of the self-assembling technologies that are out there from that doctor who was indicted, that technologist. Just forgot his name, folks. But there's all sorts of things in there. Now, earlier in the year, you know, Terry and I were attacked by the pathogen. And, you know, there are effective treatments out there. Hydroxychloroquine does work. Chlorine dioxide is showing all sorts of benefits. But, boy, you can get in trouble for recommending that. I'm not recommending that. All I'm doing is telling you that people are looking into it. And then there's, of course, ivermectin. The standard 12-milligram dose per day can also be used prophylactically. Plus, there's this technology or this chemistry known as NAC, low dosing at 600 milligrams per day, is very helpful. Melatonin has been shown to be effective. It's also a cancer fighter, folks. But take it at night because it makes you drowsy. And, of course, good old vitamin D. Get your dosing to a point where after blood testing you see somewhere around 90 to 100 nanograms per milliliter, I believe it is. And you can get that also through sun exposure. And don't forget your zinc and vitamin K. So all of these things work to bolster your immune system. But then we also have to be concerned about the blood-brain barrier, because these pathogens do cause neurological damage. There's an uptick now in dementia. There's an up in children. Did you hear about that? 5-year-olds are manifesting dementia. Folks, these things are like from a bad sci-fi movie. You know, your body replaces its cells in 1 to 3 months. Blood vessels take about 7 years, so they're slower. And your nervous system can also regenerate, but it takes decades. So you have to get into a clean environment. You have to be eating clean food, aided along with various chelating technologies and all that. But like I said, I'm not up to snuff on this. I'm just telling you there is hope. So do not lose hope. And by the way, this NAC component or this compound, it has the ability to slowly dissolve clots, so maybe there's something there. But like I said, I'm doing a lot of reading on this right now. And if you have any information out there, folks, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll get it into my research and continue to learn about this so I can share it with you. But isn't it interesting that right after a study was published concerning NAC and what it can do with regard to the reversal of blood clotting, the FDA takes a move to try to turn it into a prescription drug. Folks, I buy it from a vitamin company online right now, and I take it every day. But praise the Lord, we the people stood up, and the uproar was so loud on this one. You know, people who take it for COPD and heart and liver issues They all got ticked off. They said, I've been taking this for years. I buy it at the local pharmacy on the shelf with the supplements. So the FDA backed down. So I'm telling you, folks, we the people, we do have an impact on these jerks. So do not stop, because all good has to do for evil to prevail is nothing. Oh, and by the way, did you hear that the fraud Fauci's stepping down? Well, sort of. He's going to become the private advisor to the imposter-in-chief Biden. You know, think about everything that's going on right now. Fauci stepping down, Rand Paul promising to get to the bottom of this and telling the CDC and all the other alphabet agencies involved in this fraud to keep and retain their documents per U.S. law, and saying that Fauci's going to have plenty of time now to testify. And then the CDC admitting that they were all wrong. And Google and YouTubers are no longer banning people who speak out against the face diapers and the other CDC guidelines that were just pure horse hockey. And why? Because they can't keep the lid on this anymore, folks. It's all starting to come apart. And what's really sad about it is they have Donald Trump in their sights. That's right, Paul. Orange Man made them do it. You know, the war between the English and the French Freemasons wages on, folks. And I'm telling you right now, Trump is not our savior. He's an English Freemason. He's a Luciferian, folks. Establishment right now are the godless French Illuminists who do not believe in a higher power. They're atheistic. Now, the God of the English Freemasons is none other than Lucifer, the creator, the great architect. And you can study this. There's a book out there called, Mr. Daniels did the book, and it's called Scarlet and the Beast. I've done exposés on it. I've talked about it in rather great detail. It's in the archives. You can find it there on Blog Talk Radio. But just remember, folks, President Donald James Trump is controlled opposition. And I am absolutely certain of this now. But right now we have to keep moving. It's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. The Japanese ka means salt. Boo means dance. Ki means skill from the verb. Kabu means to slant or display. Folks, it's all right. It's the flattened curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or will hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030. And the new world will just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Now, recently I've stumbled upon this channel over on YouTube called the People's Voice Channel, and they're putting out some great info, and I'm very surprised they're still up there and they haven't been deplatformed. So go out and check them out, folks, while they're still up. It's the People's Voice Channel. Now, provided the Lord's willing and I'm getting the direction I should have, I'm trying to put themes into this, and the theme today is population reduction. Play for you from the People's Voice Channel is this clip titled Busted, Bill Gates Institution for Population Control Quietly Changed. So this is a 2.5 minute, almost 3 minute clip. Just take a listen to the People's Voice Channel exposing the eugenicist behind the Gates Foundation.
Was the Gates Foundation originally called the Bill and Melinda Gates Institute for Population Control? A bombshell revelation, if true, but is it? Let's take a look at this video that's gone viral recently that sparks the question.
In 1998, Dr. Zabin became the founding director of the Bill and Melinda Gates Institute for Population Control, with a mission to help developing countries create their own reproductive health policies and programs.
While some people might claim that the video is fake or that the lady misspoke, the idea that the elites want to depopulate the planet isn't such a wild conspiracy anymore, considering recent events. Most people are waking up to the reality that the ruling class don't have our best interests at heart, and part of their agenda is to reduce the planet's population to a more manageable number. In one of our videos last week, I exposed how the WEF, working alongside Bill Gates and other powerful figures, are now openly calling for 94% of the world's population to be culled. I'll leave a link to the full video in the description below.
And now fast forward to the early 21st century, when we just don't need the vast majority of the population.
Because?
because the future is about developing more and more sophisticated technology, like, again, artificial intelligence, bioengineering. Most people don't contribute anything to that, except perhaps for their data. And whatever people are still doing, which is useful, these technologies increasingly will make redundant and will make it possible to replace the people.
The New World Order are no longer hiding their plans to depopulate the world. But such a plan must have been in the works for years prior to its execution. So let's just do something very basic right now, and something you can produce right now on your computer or phone at home. On your screen are the top two results you get when you Google the term Institute for Population Control. Try it for yourself now before Google tweak their algorithm and begin censoring this result. Notice how I didn't search for anything related to Gates or his foundation, yet Google still gave me two Gates Institute links right at the top of their search results. What's even more disturbing is that recently news emerged that Bill Gates was developing a vaccine that spreads like a virus, meaning that people will catch the vaccine like they would a cold or flu and without consent. Historically, self-spreading vaccines have roots in efforts to reduce pest populations. Is this how Bill Gates views humanity, a pest population that needs to be culled? I presented the evidence, so now you decide.
That's their agenda, folks. Population control. It's a new world order where people are tagged and bagged and managed and controlled in ways never before imagined by technology, AI, and all sorts of other wicked evil. And you know what's sad about it, folks? They tell you all about it. The series on Netflix, Black Mirror, shows you how they're going to use technology, the Black Mirror. Hold up your smartphone sometime and look at it. While the screen's dead, it's black, and you can see your reflection, hence Black Mirror. Now, to execute such a Luciferian evil plan, you've got to call the critical thinkers. You've got to eliminate those who are not walk their blinders on, so to speak, staying in their lane, doing as they're told, and a little bit more on that in the Hopium Report. But think about it. Those critical thinkers have to be called out. Those critical thinkers have to be called the enemy. And right now, there's a report out that all Republicans are now being considered terrorists by the establishment.
What? What? Are you serious? Can I ask more?
That's right. Paul, right out of the Rules for Radicals, right out of that book by Saul Alinsky, that's the handbook of Hillary Clinton and all the other demoniacs that are in this New World agenda, they are calling out Republicans as terrorists. Now, the Washington Times reports that the Financial Times associate editor, Edward Luce, tweeted that Republicans are the most dangerous political force in the world, bar none. He goes on to tweet, I've covered extremism and violent ideologies around the world, and I've never come across a political force more nihilistic, dangerous, and contemptible than today's Republicans. Folks, believe this is happening. Nothing close. And then former CIA Director Michael Hayden chimed in immediately and tweeted, I agree. Then just this past Tuesday, Democratic advisor Kurt Bardella called the Republicans a domestic terrorist cell. Remember last week? I showed you how they got the entire media in lockstep talking about civil war, civil war, civil war. Do you remember I talked about that? Well, now it's all about Republicans bad, orange man bad, the right wicked. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. Folks, there's a writer in the Atlantic named Paul Wehner. And he likened the Republican Party to a dagger pointed at the throat of the American democracy. And there's that word again, folks. It just sounds like fingernails on the chalkboard to me. And then FBI Director Christopher Wray added that Americans flying the Gadsden, you know, that's the don't tread me flag. I think it's from New Hampshire. It's the yellow background with the snakes. That flag is now related to violent extremism. Does anybody except me hear the ghosts of George Orwell laughing at us right now? Folks, doesn't this concern you that a group of demoniacs, I mean Democrats, holding de facto power. Remember, that's not just power. Just power is de jure power. So if you rightly won an election that was constitutionally established and run, because the Constitution's our governing body, so to speak, it's not the people sitting in Washington, it's the Constitution. But if you have a constitutionally established public servant base in Washington, D.C., and if they're doing everything legally and lawfully, then they're known as a de jure government. But when they seize the reins of power illegally and unjustly, they become de facto. So when a group of de facto demoniacs in Washington define the other side of the aisle, Republicans, as being far right-wing extremists and a threat to American, quote-unquote, democracy, you have to ask yourself, just exactly what is right-wing extremism? Is it someone who advocates for life? Is it someone who believes in traditional values and traditional sexual morality? Are you a right-winger if you believe in lower taxes? Are you an extremist if you dare call open debate on environmental policy the right thing to do? Are you an extremist if you... And are you a threat to the republic if you want to enforce borders and say that, you know, legal immigration is actually a good thing? Do those things become dangerous and contemptible? Really? What about the people? What about the people on the other side? You know, these useless idiots, as Lenin called them, and we talked about last week, are their thoughtless embrace of all of these dangerous ideologies the true security risk? You know, gender, fluidity, printing of money. You know, they can print money, but they can't print food. They have such a stinking thinking, folks. They can't print water. They can't print a car. They can't print a house. They can't print clothing. So if their solution is to just print more money, the resources dry up. That's what Ayn Rand was talking about in Atlas Shrugged. If you haven't read it, folks, read it. But how can this not be dangerous, the degradation of the U.S. economy? How does enhancing or impeding American excellence not pose a threat to national security? Think about it. Embracing these neo-Marxist Black Lives Matter ideologies, how does that make us come together? How does their infatuation with this sexual perversity that's just so far out there, and wait till we get to the Absurdian Report, folks, there's another one that's just going to rock your world. And I predicted this 20 years ago. I wrote it down on a piece of paper and put it behind our mantle, then it fell down behind it. It's back there. I dated it. This was when Y2K was coming. And this next one, I'll tell you about it when we get to the Absurdian Report. But just think about all this. Isn't this intellectual bigotry? Isn't that what's truly radical and so extreme when they say you can't critically think, you just have to have your binders on and think about whatever they're saying? But Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the pastor from Germany during the time of Hitler, warned that silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Folks, over half of we the people have just been called domestic terrorists. 84 million plus. Folks, this is bad. Silence in the face of this demonic power grab is complicity to our demise. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. And God will not hold us guiltless. You know, I want to thank Everett Piper, a columnist for the Washington Times and a former university president and radio host, for reflecting some of these thoughts. They resonated with me completely, folks, and I just shared it. You know, the whole purpose of this fear-driven chicken little rhetoric, control you by fear. And it's to justify their unprecedented, draconian authority on the actions that are yet to come. Folks, we haven't seen bad yet. You think this is bad? No, this just isn't normal. Wait till the bad comes. And it's inevitable now, at least it appears to be. Now, I am hearing some talk that the white hats are out there doing things, but show me some proof, folks, because right now I just don't see it. Our very livelihoods, our freedoms, and even our lives are going to be sacrificed at this partisan altar of insanity if we don't stand up, if we the people don't stand up. And we have to say no to this. This is Gaia worship, folks. This is idolatry. And all you have to do is nothing. to allow them to prevail. So, folks, I'm encouraging all in your spheres of influence to stand up and speak the truth. Don't argue it. Just declare it. That's what you have to do. Remember, the root of evil comes from one source, the root of all evil. And that root is the love of money, which leads us into our newest segment, Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
You know, there's a great article out there on greatgameindia.com, the Italy Social Credit App. And I would just like to cover a little bit of this because it's all fitting together, folks. They report that Italy's created a new social credit app to reward citizens for, and this is their word or their phrase, virtuous behavior. Now, this new software was designed for a smartphone app, and it's very similar to what China's social credit system uses, and that's chilling, folks. And, you know, when that first came out back around 2018, you know, China's social credit score, I didn't give it much thought. And that was a mistake on my part. But I just never imagined moving this fast. I mean, I understood it. But then I had been looking at 30 years of history up to this point in terms of how fast things were progressing. And I never thought it would be moving this fast. But this new system is called the Smart Citizen Wallet, and it was unveiled in a news conference on digital innovation in Bologna, Italy, back in May. March 29th. There, I have it in my notes. It was done by the mayor of Bologna, Matteo Lepore, and Massimo Bugani. He's the director of the city's, and get this, the city has a digital agenda department. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. Now, I love this. They said, well, obviously this one's going to be forced to participate. And they also said those who want to will be able to give, and listen to this word in their quote, consent when downloading and using the app. Everything you do, folks, from the jab to going into these systems to even paying your federal income tax, it's all done by consent. You know, he goes on to say, and I expect many people will want to participate. Now, there's some Italian and French and even German journalists warning that this app is dangerous. They're comparing it to the Chinese social credit system, and they're calling out the warning. One Twitter user named Nat actually branded it as terrifying. Credit system, which rewards the righteous citizen, is going to be introduced after this summer in Bologna, Italy, with the Smart Citizen Wallet. And points if you recycle, if you use public transportation. Folks, this is terrifying. This is social engineering on steroids. It's been compared, this, what do they call it? The Smart Citizen Wallet has been compared to this other private wallet known as the Thales Digital ID Wallet. Now, I have a clip there on the marketing of this Thales Digital ID Wallet, and I'd just like you to listen to it. It's a three-minute clip. And it's chilling. Just listen to this. This is a marketing clip.
Hello, everyone. Meet Lucy, student in psychology. And me, her digital ID wallet issued by the government to offer a wide range of identity services. In fact, I'm a handy way of proving and protecting her identity both online and face-to-face. Let's have a closer look at what I can do. I can help governments to better communicate with citizens. Right now, I'm reminding Lucy of the appointment she needs to schedule for her mandatory vaccination. Time to go to her exam. Lucy is a bit stressed out. I'm here to make it easy for her to prove she is the right candidate, with a quick and secure connection between her phone and the examiners. Exam passed successfully. Quick stop at the doctor's before celebrating, and no time to lose. On the way, Lucy uses me to declare her passport lost. She needs it for her upcoming road trip. No issue. She can request an emergency digital passport without having to go to the authority office. I make official admin a lot smoother. And that's not all. I can also help Lucy request a birth certificate, pay her taxes, or prove who she is when onboarding to new services, such as opening a bank account. I allow Lucy to certify her health care coverage entitlement. She's able to decide whether to authorize the doctor to access her medical records or not, ensuring her control over her personal data. Lucy needs one more thing before being all set for her trip to Australia, renting a car. I help her share her driver's license credentials online so that she doesn't have to wait hours in a queue to collect the car when she gets to Brisbane. The rental company benefits from secure and accurate information, and Lucy from a smooth experience. Lucy's friends are waiting for her inside the bar. To allow her to get in, I simply generate a QR code that proves Lucy is old enough, so she doesn't have to share all her ID details with the bar staff. So yes, I'm Lucy's best companion. I protect her identity and official credentials wherever she goes. I provide secured access to public and private services and allow her to have full control over her data privacy. In other words, I give the right access to the right data to the right person. I am also trusted by governments to best support countries' digital transformation, fight against ID fraud, and deliver smooth public services. I am the Talis Digital ID Wallet.
Hey, folks, that is chilling. What can I say? That's chilling, folks. I'm speechless. Remember, this is a public corporate entity that's pushing all this. And they said in there, Lucy's mandatory vaccine. They're trusted by the government. Give me a break, folks. This is marketing to the masses. And they're making all of this draconian garbage sound normal. Hey, just a side note, this is in particular for Alex and his wife. I've been monitoring my internet speeds during the show, and everything pre-show is very good, and my audio is clean. And then I noticed the decline in my upload and download speeds, both of them. Now, I'm on DSL. We're out in the country, folks. And as long as I have a upload speed above one in terms of millibytes per second, were pretty good. But during the show, the sound probably got compromised. I don't know if you picked it up. We're trying to figure this out. Alex and his wife are helping me. And I'm thinking it might be my internet speeds. And I know this isn't very interesting to any of you out there, but my speeds dropped to well below one on my upload and very slow on my download. So I switched over to my backup. I'm on the cell phone now. I'm going to try to hold it close to my mouth here. And praise the Lord, there is a high-speed internet system coming in by T-Mobile. It's working its way out this way. We may switch. I'm also looking at some satellite systems. The problem with that is they meter you, and then the upcharges get very outrageous. And with the type of research I do, we spend a lot of bandwidth. So anyways, let's keep moving here, folks. This is open source infrastructure in some of these apps. And there's another marketing piece that I'd like to play for you concerning this whole thing. And it's about the Thales 2019 Global Company of the Year Award from Frost & Sullivan. So this is another marketing spiel on how wonderful this technology is. You know, these what do you want to call them? Electronic handcuffs. It's the stuff that the Black Mirror series warned us about. But take a listen to this one from Frost & Sullivan, just praising the benefits of these electronic handcuffs.
The global shift to more digital, service-oriented processes pressures governments to improve the quality and delivery of their services. This new paradigm shifts from traditional IDs to the improved security and convenience of mobile-based digitized ID solutions, enabling citizens to safely transact and authenticate themselves on web portals in seconds. The sharing economy is also in need of easy and reliable ways for citizens to share identity data, but in a contactless method befitting our post-COVID world. Bala's Gemalto Digital ID Wallet addresses the growing need for digital and in-person identity verification and authentication, while allowing citizens to maintain full control of their data. This allows verification to be done via secure, device-to-device communication methods. Users keep their digital ID with them at all times and only share the data necessary to confirm the transaction, such as proof of age or proof of identity, maintaining GDPR standards. Bala's achieves a market first with its in-house mobile ID security core and advanced white box cryptography, attaining the highest common criteria mobile software security level and a masterful chain of trust. Its remote onboarding and biometric authentication offer a seamless user experience, while flexible business models such as ID and authentication as a service add to its modularity. Solutions like the Gemalto Digital ID Wallet only touch on the use cases available to the identity industry through digital IDs. By moving government IDs to these more digitized solutions, citizens not only regain control of their personal data, but can process faster and safer transactions involving identity verification, online authentication, and ID attribute sharing. This also leaves governments with less fraudulent identities to deal with, and citizens with more control over how their personal identifiable data is released.
So there you have it. You heard it all right there. More sickening marketing. But we have to keep moving, folks. Right time for Coop Talk with Henrietta, and I don't see her here. You know who, Henrietta, I'm really happy that you're doing all this extra work and you're getting the gals over in the coop to lay some eggs, and we're getting some fresh eggs. There she is. Okay, Henrietta, take your place. Sit down. Stay on the paper. Okay, so we're going to talk about water today. And water scarcity is actually oxymoronic when you think about it, because this is a closed system. This world we live in is mostly water. So there's really no water scarcity that they talk about. It's more the hidden agenda behind it, water control. Now, you may get your water from a public water supply. You may be out in the country like Carrie and me and have a deep well, or maybe you have a cistern and you have a spring, and then you use a pump to pump it, or maybe you gravity feed. There are a variety of different ways. But we need to secure our water supply, and that's very important. So one thing we all should do is we should have water filters, a good water filter, not one of these pieces of junk you get at the Walmart or Target or on Amazon. I'm talking about a good water filter that filters everything from pathogens to heavy metals and even sediment. So something like a Berkey. Now, of course, you don't want to just dump cloudy, murky water in a Berkey. So you want to collect that water. You want to have it settle, and then you want to pour off or decant the top. But what I would like to focus on specifically today, folks, is a deep well water system. Now, Terry and I, we're doing everything we can to prep. So we're looking at all of our appliances. We're looking at backup power. We have talked about the generator we have. We just watched some documentaries on a solar system to supplement our generator, and it may even include wind, but we don't have good wind out here, but we do have some good sun. So we're researching all this, and we're trying to put together the system. But today I want to focus on securing your water supply. So what Terry and I are doing is we're getting backup equipment in to actually service our deep well. Now, our particular well is in a what's known as a frack aquifer. It's very good, clean water. The only thing it has is a fairly high calcium content. Our dissolved solids, prior to any treatments, around 200. And on water analysis, it's very good. It's basically just calcium. But you have to make certain that your system is good. So we have a deep well pump, and it's been in service now for 34 years. And praise the Lord, it's never given us any trouble. But we just put together a complete backup system that's ready to go. And we're debating whether we should replace the one that's in now, placed at 135 feet, or whether we should wait till it breaks. I've got two sides of the argument here. Some people are saying, do it. Your well's old and it's going to break. Your well pump's old and it's going to break in the last moment. You know, you're going to be getting ready to go to a wedding like we're doing this afternoon, and your well's going to give up. So some people are saying, pull that old pump, clean it up, and put it on the shelf as your backup, and then put your new one in. But this one that I have in there is an Aero motor. It's been in service. It's American-made, and it's good. It's the best. Now, the one I got is supposed to be a good one. It was a Goulds. It's 13 gallons per minute, 3/4 horsepower, 2-wire system. And Goulds was very good, and they're American-made on the pump. Well, I open up the package. It was delivered this week because I couldn't find one local, and I do try to do all my buying local. And wouldn't you know, the motor is made in China. So now I'm in a dilemma. Should I do it or not? But starting at the bottom of the well, that should be deeper than where you place your pump. So our well goes to 160 feet. Our pump's placed at 135 feet, and we've never been able to drop the water level below 60 feet, regardless of how long we pump. I think this pump's 12 gallons a minute. So we're pumping 12 gallons a minute, and we've run it for hours on some of the water testing we've done here, and that level just stays right there steady at 60 feet below ground level. But starting down at the bottom at 135 feet, you have your submersible deep well pump. Get a good one. Don't buy a cheap one, folks. And the one we have and the one that we're installing has a check valve built into it. Then right above it with your piping. And typically these pumps are 1.25-inch outlet. You break them down to, or you reduce down to a 1-inch pipe. You have a torque arrestor in there. You have your fusible shrink wrap covering of the wires, be it 2 or 3 wire. And I like the 2-wire system because you don't have to have a starter. But anyways, working up, you get up to the top, you have a pitless adapter and a safety rope and a torque arrestor at the bottom. And then about every 25 feet, you should have a tape and cable system. You know, between each of the cable routers, you should have a little wrap with some electrical tape. Up to your pitless adapter, and then a horizontal run over to your house. Now, you can get into all the details on this, but you need to have a backup of these on the shelf if you're on a deep well pump. If you're in the city, get some of those big 55-gallon water jugs that you can pick up used. You know, they go for $25, $30. Fill some up, have them in your basement, and have some water ready, folks. And then get some filters, because I'm telling you, they're going to use water as one of the ways to control us. So I just wanted to share with you what Terry and I are doing, and it's time to continue to move on. And right now it's time for our Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
I was doing my normal work this week, and I don't know if Alex sent it to me or it came from someone else. It's hard to remember where all this comes from, but whoever you were that sent me this, thank you. There was this clip of this cowboy speaking truth. It's 2 minutes and 11 seconds long, and there's a profanity warning in here, folks. So if you have little ones, cover their ears, get them out of the room, and please understand that I fear the Lord, I serve the Lord, and I love Jesus. And I'm telling you, folks, I don't speak this way, but this is the reality we live in. So when I try to share a reality with you so you understand how important it is to be grounded in Christ, sometimes these people speak harshly, but they're our culture. So anyways, with no further commentary, take a listen to this cowboy speaking truth.
You know, I was just down in the tack room and spied this old bridle hanging there on the wall. And although it's 80 to 100 years old, it got me thinking of today. and not so much the horses, but the people. This bridle's got a specific design. Those blinders are there so that while working, the animal can't get distracted with what's going on this side. It can't get distracted with what's going on that side. It sure as hell doesn't know what's going on behind it. All it knows is to go straight ahead and do what it's told. Sound familiar? Well, folks, it's about time that everybody stopped and took their fucking blinders off and best look behind you, because the World Economic Forum just came up torch in hand and lit your fucking wagon on fire. Everything that you know, your entire way of life, is under direct assault from them sons of bitches right now. Your sovereignty in the nation that you live, your financial stability, your food source, your energy source, your transportation, and your freedom as a human being are all under direct attack by Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. It is Mr. Schwab's intention in the fourth industrial revolution to integrate your biological self with your digital self, to remove God from the equation, the miracle of life. These fuckers are serious, people. They're playing for keeps. This isn't a joke. So it is time. Take your blinders off. Look around you. Realize what's going on. There's some serious shit coming up behind you. Once you see what's going on and you arm yourself with facts, start telling people. This is where we have to sway the mass of consciousness. We have to make people aware. Information is invaluable right now. That's your ammunition. You are a warrior. Use your accurate information and truth. Spread it. Get in the fight. I love each and every one of you.
I love that, folks. That man was right on point. He nailed it. Simple words, clearly understood, reporting hard, cold facts. And I'll add, this is exactly where the Dems and the Rhinos are looking more and more like the enemy. It's happening, folks. And more people in America are waking up to this reality that the Democrats and the Rhinos of today are not serving the interests of we the people. And so that's why I placed this in the Hopium Report. Remember, all good has to do for evil to prevail is nothing. But right now, we have to keep moving, and it is time for our absurdity
report. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Have this clip in here, and like I just told you, folks, please do not be offended by this next topic, but this is the reality. I mentioned before what I wrote on a card and put behind my mantle back during Y2K, and it involved bestiality. Well, there's a clip we're going to play now advocating for the decriminalization of sex with animals. Zoophilia, they're called zoophiles. It's sick, folks. But they are now in pride marches demanding that they be added to the LGBTQI+ movement by adding the letter Z. Well, folks, wasn't the letter Z supposed to be outlawed because of the Azov Battalion and all the Nazism? But this is what's happening right now. They are advocating for the normalization of bestiality.
What? Are you serious? Are you serious?
Can I have some more coffee?
Yeah, Paul, I'm not making this stuff up. So German zoophiles have taken to the streets in protest against laws that forbid sex with animals. I mean, this is the world we're living in, folks. And according to the protesters, German citizens
should have the right to engage in, and this is a quote right out of the article, sexual relationships with animals, including pet dogs. This is sick, folks. Have a listen to this German zoophile being interviewed, claiming that this is normal, and this should be recognized by all of us as normal.
Once I had a sexual relationship with an animal. It was a dog, a male dog, who was, who used me, let's say. And in the moment, I'm living together with a German Shepherd bitch. For me, it is far easier to build an emotional relationship to an animal than to a human. And so for me it's even easier to have some sexual contact with an animal than with a human.
This is some sick stuff. It's really, really sick. So these zoophiles believe it's acceptable to be a sexual deviant, including sexual intimacy with animals. And they want to be included in this freak parade, you know, the rainbow movement. They want Z added to its name. And now this is very alarming, okay? There's demonic zoophiles, but they're not confined to Germany. And here's where it gets really sick. They're in the United States, too. And here again, a story about a freak from Pennsylvania. So we talked about the drag queen from Pennsylvania that was saying, would you want a pornographer or a stripper to coach your children? So why a transvestite? Well, here there's this man named Tugel, a freak from Pennsylvania, who was in a recent pride movement speaking to the Russian Times. And of course, none of this is ever reported on U.S. news agencies. And of course, in Russia and China, they're looking at us and laughing. But Tugel says zoophiles are quintessentially queer. But if you think pride is a social event that you can be uninvited from, you misunderstood it on a fundamental level. Pride is a protest. Pride is about defiance against the society that doesn't want you to exist. Some people may have forgotten that, but I haven't. So people can say things on Twitter like zoophiles aren't welcome at Pride, but they can't stop us from participating. Pride isn't something other people can take away from you unless you let them. Remember what the Bible says about pride, folks. Pride comes before the fall. And let's never forget what the Bible says about these perversities. The Bible says in multiple scriptures that this behavior is wrong. Exodus 22 verses 19 and 20 says, whoever has sexual intercourse with an animal must be put to death. I didn't say it. God did. Deuteronomy 27 verses 21 through 22. Anyone will be cursed who has sexual relations with an animal. A man will be cursed who has sexual relations with his sister, whether she is the father's daughter or the mother's daughter. And the people will all say, amen. No, they're not anymore. They're shaking their fists at God and saying, my body, my choice. Leviticus 20, verses 15 and 16 says the same thing, as does Leviticus 18, verses 22 through 30. And then the New Testament, everybody can say, well, that's the Old Testament. No, you go to the New Testament, and it reinforces all these scriptures. But, folks, we have to keep moving. In this world of craziness, it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Now, over the last several weeks, I've been sharing with you the five ghosts from the past whose stinking thinking haunts us to this very day, whose stinking thinking produces these freaks like we just covered in the Absurdian Report. Remember, we talked about Hegel and Feuerbach and Marx and Darwin and Freud and all of their stinking thinking, which created our current Western culture that led to the minds of twisted people like Hitler and Lenin and Stalin. And then I told you that now that we've sown the wind, what we're doing is reaping the whirlwind. That's what it is. But I'm not discouraged. I told you that. And here's why. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You can read it yourself, folks. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. So the point here is that God has given you and me as believers what's known as kingdom authority. And Jesus said, behold, I give you authority over all the powers of the enemy. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. So use it, folks. Appropriate it. Now, one thing these freaks don't have on their side is truth. They're slaying truth. Truth has fallen in the streets. And another thing they don't have, and praise the Lord, is the Holy Spirit, who will lead us unto all truth. So we must take the word of truth, like I said last week, and that spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, and hold it up to the Christ of truth. And we need to get out of that boat, folks, with both feet like Peter did, and walk on that water to Jesus. You know, the days are short, folks. They truly are. And we need to know who we are. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. Folks, we don't have to be ashamed for what we believe. We are the victors. We aren't operating for victory. We aren't operating to victory. We are operating in victory through Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there are good and true and righteous answers to all these things. The Bible says we're to be ready always to give an answer to those who ask us of these things. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Now, folks, I'm being honest with you when I say this. I am convinced there's not a lot of wrong in America. In the midst of every wrong that we've just covered, that wouldn't be changed radically, and I'm talking very quickly, if we had a generation of preachers up on those pulpits across this land who would stand on the pulpits of God, anointed with the Holy Spirit of God, and take a full heart full of love and pure life and preach it and teach it with words like, thus saith the Lord. So I'm saying right now, in the midst of this lost and fallen generation, amongst all you listeners out there, that I pray, Lord, let it start in my heart, and then let it go to your hearts and to our churches. Let us all stand up and speak up while God gives us a voice to speak. Amen? So let's pray right now, folks. Father, I pray that you will help us. You will help me and the listeners who love you, Lord, not to be discouraged, not to be alarmed on all of this freaky crap we're seeing in this world, Lord, but to be sensitized and awakened and energized in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us not to go off half-cocked, but to help us know and believe and why we believe it, Lord. And then to teach it to others with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So folks, I hope that your eyes are open and your eyes are upon God. And you have a heart of compassion for the little ones out there. You have a heart of compassion for those who are bound in the chains of sin. And I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So folks, I love what's going on in the church, and I love what I see going on in the spirit. It's going to have victory in the end. I know that, but we have to keep moving. And right now it's time for Back to the Future, where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. I'm sorry if you got some feedback there. I held the phone too close to the headset where I had that clip play, and I apologize if that went over the air. I pray it didn't. Blasted my ears out, though. So let's wind the clock back, folks, to 1974 in the Nixon administration. And we've talked about this before. It's the National Security Study Memorandum 200, also known as NSSM 200. And it was a document generated by Nixon's National Security Office in 1974. And it was the government's formal response to this effort that came through the non-governmental organizations and the Rockefeller Foundation that we had to depopulate the earth or else we would all die by 2000. Now, most of these advocates for population control have long been forgotten, but one of them, his name is still out there. His name is Paul Ehrlich. And in 1969, he wrote a book called The Population Bomb, and people are still talking about it today. And it popularized this viewpoint that's been all over. We used to talk about it in my advanced English class back in high school, and that was 10 years after the book came out. So there's political pressure being piled up high and wide to depopulate the earth. And Nixon gave a speech in 1969 where he called for a national population policy. And then 5 years later, he got it. Now, federal funding for this domestic population control began after the passage in 1970 of Title X. And this office still remains till today. And folks, who can deny anymore that they're advancing this agenda? Now, there's a lot there, and you can read this, and it's written in that legalese, and it's not very easy to understand. So I'd like to wind the clock up to 2016 when Jim Mars wrote the book Population Control, How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us. You can get it on Kindle. You can get it in used copies. I think there's even some PDFs out there on the Wayback Machine. So, you know, they're using all sorts of kill vectors, from the food we eat to the water we drink to even the air we breathe. You know, with the sprays and the chemical poisoning that's happening with the chemtrails. But now we're seeing this unprecedented number of sudden adult deaths, unexplained deaths that we covered in detail. And they're coming from the death jabs. So this population control agenda is alive and well. And what just happened a month or so ago? The Georgia Guidestones were destroyed. This is all coming together, folks. And Jim Mars did an excellent job in this book, Population Control. So I encourage you to get it. And remember, we had him on Tribulation Now, and we covered one of his other books. I think the one we covered was Rule by Secrecy or The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy. Again, two very good books to read. But just realize that this plan for population control just didn't happen when COVID struck. They've been planning this for decades. They've been planning this for generations. This is a transgenerational movement to establish the throne of Lucifer and to establish the New World Order. But praise the Lord, if you've read the book of Revelation and some of the other end time prophecies in the Bible, you know how this story ends. Jesus wins along with his 10,000 saints who come back with him on white horses to defeat the beast. Gives you a blueprint for fighting back. Jim Mars. So there's hope out there, folks. And as a side note, did you know that the Gates family aren't the only eugenicists out there? The fraud Fauci is also a eugenicist, along with the Bush and the Harriman and the Rockefeller and Grady families. Now, you may not know who some of these people are, but you know who Fauci is. And his career, his illustrious career, didn't begin with the gain-of-function research for the scamdemic. No, it goes all the way back to the 80s with the AIDS and the AZT that he pushed upon millions. You know, HIV does not cause AIDS. Just like this, the whole lie with this, you know, all the coronavirus causes SARS. No, these things are not what you think they are. Fauci is a criminal con man, and he needs to be arrested. He's carrying out the orders of the Bush, Grady, and Rockefeller families that have been formalized in this agenda that was put on us by the Nixon administration. And they all must be arrested and brought to trial for what they've done. You know, coronaviruses aren't the invisible enemy here. They are. Think about it. There's a 99.99% survival rate of this, and yet people are lining up for these jabs that are killing them by 10,000 a day now? Folks, this must be exposed, and these traitors need to be arrested. So do you know who Christine and Rob Grady are? I'm going to write that down. Next week we may talk about the Gradys. So I wrote that down as a possible topic next week, provided the Lord's willing. Now, how do we apply this to the Freaky Deaky News update? How do we apply this to what's going on today in reality? Well, remember how we opened the show. We opened the show with Dr. Dolores Cahill and her update with the Bill Still report. So she was just interviewed this month, and as we heard on the Still report, the interview was taken down almost immediately. But praise the Lord, Bill Still was able to snag a copy, and he put it up on his website. And what I'd like to do for you right now is play her opening remarks in this interview. Now, this only goes on for about a minute and a half. And if you'd like to listen to the entire interview, just email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. I was able to get a copy of this and save it. And again, all thanks out there to Bill Still and his website. And if you haven't subscribed to Bill Still, it's the Still Report. Just go out there. He only sends 2 emails out a month, but you stay current with what he's doing. He's doing some good research, folks. I may talk a little bit more about the journalist Bill Still next week. But let's have a listen to Dr. Dolores Cahill and the opening comments from her August 2022 interview.
When I came out publicly from May 2020, this was before any of these vaccines, mRNA, were even started, that I said that there was prevention and treatment available, including vitamin D, hydroxychloroquine, and zinc. So therefore, there was no need to, you know, treat the symptoms of SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19, with the vaccine, first of all. And then in the same interviews from May 2020, I said that if they were thinking of developing an mRNA vaccine, that for decades, none of these injections were ever approved because of the death and illness of the animals in the studies. So not one of these mRNA vaccines were ever licensed because either all of the animals died or half of the animals died. And so I said that if they started making these mRNA and putting them into clinical trials, that many people would die, not just immediately after the injections, but in the months and years to come. And what we're now seeing is that there are deaths happening, but they are from people who have been injected with these mRNA injections. So this is what we're seeing now.
So there you have it, right out of the words, right out of the mouth of the expert. Her words, folks, not mine. We're going to continue to see deaths. And isn't it interesting? But this tends to correlate with exactly what Jim Mars warned us about in his book. This tends to correlate with the concerns expressed by the Rockefeller report that drove President Richard Nixon to get the National Security Study Memorandum 200 implemented back in 1972. So from sudden adult death syndrome to digital IDs to the coming currency collapse and the food and water scarcity, how do we manage? How do we navigate in this fallen world? How do we remain victorious with all of this garbage going on around us? How do we tie the 3 incredible truths concerning the saving faith of Jesus Christ that must be operating inside of you and me in order to have victory? Well, like I opened the show with, the Bible says that in the midst of all of this, with the fig tree not blossoming, you know, this is out of Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And without the fruit on the vines, without the labor of the olive, without the fields yielding, with no meat, with the flocks cut off from the field. And you know what they're doing in Texas right now? They're slaughtering the herds because they don't have any grass. They don't have any hay for the cattle. So there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. So folks, how do we do this? What do we do? Well, I'm telling you, many Christians today still rely on their old, superficial, superstitious faith. Now, that can do a lot. Believe me, it can. That's the whole positive thinking and all that type of stuff. That's the name it and claim it. But that's not what those Hall of Famers in Hebrews chapter 11 that I like to call the Hall of Faith, that's not what they did. you know, most people operate in this old natural tap water and light bulb faith, as I call it. You know, you trust that the tap water is safe to drink. You trust that when you flip the switch, the light bulb will come on. That's not supernatural. That's not the all-powerful gift that Jesus gave us when he said that you shall receive a grain, the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, and say to that mountain, get up and move into the sea. That's not the faith that you raise the dead with. That's not the faith that you heal the sick with. That's the faith. That's the faith of Jesus Christ that should be operating in each and every believer, not our measure of carnal faith, folks. And what I'm telling you is biblical here. So when we're saved, Paul says that we become new creatures. All things are made new. 2 Corinthians chapter 15, chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, and this is the key, all things are become new. Now, all things includes our measure of faith. So the old man's natural, superficial, superstitious faith that I like to call tap water and light bulb faith, the faith that most Christians continue to operate in after salvation, should be replaced with the supernatural, all-powerful gift of Jesus' saving faith. And the Bible even tells us so, but you have to read it in the original King James. And it reads in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's who justifies us, and that's whose faith justifies us, the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified. How? By our faith? No. It goes on to say by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So how are we justified? How are we saved? Well, we're saved by grace through the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, if your Bible says that we're justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, then it's mistranslating the Greek, because the Greek word for faith is pistis. And the Greek word that's associated as a conjunction with that is of, not in. So anytime you see pistis, it's always pistis of, or faith of Abraham. Yet when you talk about salvation through faith of Jesus Christ, they change the of to in. So whose faith saves us, ours or Jesus's? Well, of course it's Jesus, because had he not been faithful to the plan forged before the foundations of the earth by him, the Father and the Holy Ghost could not be saved. Galatians 2:16 says, even we have believed in Jesus that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Remember that, folks. And I talked about the ghosts that haunt us. And one of those ghosts, or two of those ghosts, were Westcott and Hort, with their modern textual criticism and their approach to the new versions, which are actually perversions. Now, if you're reading a modern version, I'm not telling you to stop reading it, but if you're doing serious Bible study, I'm telling you, I'm not suggesting that you should be doing your serious Bible study with the King James. So if we believe in Jesus or live in or abide in Christ, then we're justified by his faith. And I hope you get this, folks. And I don't want to sound pedantic. I don't want to sound like I'm belaboring a point, but this is the key to the whole thing. And there's more if you need more convincing. Whereas the Old Testament saints were saved by faith, they were saved by faith. We're saved by grace, praise the Lord, through faith, which I said is the faith of Jesus Christ, a gift given to each of us who believe. And I know this sounds pedantic. I know this sounds so detailed, but it's so simple, folks. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 reads, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So if you're out there saying, this is pedantic, Ken, you're nitpicking, you're missing the point, folks. It's the faith of Christ in us, and not the faith we may have in Christ. It's better to say, I put my trust in Christ, than to say, I put my faith in Christ. So in the past, friends, everybody who believed, in past generations, everybody who believed understood this. because it was crucial, or it is crucial, it remains crucial to this day, and it will to the very day that the new world is created through Jesus Christ, that in order to have a victory over sin, we must be operating in the faith of Christ. And we'll never do it by merely placing our faith in Christ. We must lay aside our carnal faith, our measure of faith, and as new creatures use his gift of his saving faith. Do you get it, folks? If not, rewind this and re-listen. It's very important. And until you get it, don't go on to what I'm going to share with you next. Now, this promise given to us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, you know, the promise, it's there for you and me. But if you don't embrace this, you're not going to be able to function in this promise. Now, Paul told the Galatians that this promise might be given unto all them that believe in Christ by the faith of Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22 in the King James again says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that by the promise, by faith of Christ, not faith in Christ, might be given to them that believe. So how do we do this? Well, the same way we were saved. Colossians 2, verse 6 reads, and ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And how do we do that? By dying to self and allowing Christ to live in you. But how? How do we do this? Believe in Christ. That's all you do, folks. And to believe in Christ means to abide in Christ, like a branch hangs on to the vine for its very essence of life. The life for the branch comes through the vine, which is Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, King James only, folks. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So folks, write these verses down that I've been covering. Go back and re-listen to this, and then check out how they read in your version. These subtle little words like of and in make all the difference, I'm telling you. And that's how the devil works. He gives you 99% truth and 1% rat poison. So if you've been ready to throw the towel in on this whole faith walk, if you've prayed for your child and your child didn't get well and he's or she's home with the Lord now, my deepest sympathies, folks. If you're ready to quit believing, whatever it might be that you're struggling with right now concerning this walk in the faith of Jesus Christ, may I suggest that perhaps you never truly believed in Christ? Now, I'm not saying the outcome would have been different. I'm just saying your response may have been. And I'm saying this with all sincerity, folks. I'm not pointing fingers because for many years I operated in my measure of carnal faith. But James even said in James 2:19 that the devils believe and they tremble. So simply believing, that's not what the point is here. You think about it. The demons, they know about Jesus. And they count it as a fact. Jesus is who Jesus said he is. But they don't believe in Jesus and live in the truth. They don't abide in the truth, folks. That's the point. So how have you been living? You know, if you're just doing fine and there's no crises in your life, you can know about Jesus. You can put your faith in Jesus. But when the crisis comes, when the bottom falls out, will you quit believing? Perhaps you won't endure. Perhaps you won't continue on. Maybe you won't stay the course. And you'll say, it's not working. And you'll just throw in the towel and quit. And if that's you, I'm telling you, with all due respect and all love, folks, that the reason that's happening is because you're still operating in your tap water and light bulb faith and not in his incredible gift of saving faith. And I know this. It's tried and proven in my life, folks. And that's why I'm sharing it with you. So right now, I'd like to wrap this up very quickly with three incredible truths right out of the Word of God concerning this amazing saving faith of Jesus Christ. First of all, the saving faith of Jesus Christ believes in the supernatural power of God. Not someone who's always trying to explain it away scientifically, how the Red Sea parted by wind and maybe a rotational shift of the earth. No, the Lord did it supernaturally. You know, when Daniel was thrown into the lions, he wasn't some lion whisperer. When he made his pillow one of the lions, you know, he grabbed his Old Testament and read between the lines. That was a joke, folks. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in that fiery furnace and they refused to bow down? They wouldn't budge, yet they didn't burn. How about that? How did those things happen? Try to explain that scientifically. No, that's not natural. That's supernatural, folks. So that's the first thing. If you are operating in the saving faith of Jesus Christ, you have to understand that there's a supernatural power that only God, Jehovah Elohim, possesses, and he reveals it to us each and every day that we walk on this earth. And then secondly, the saving faith of Jesus Christ operating in you and me bows to the sovereign purposes of God. So we all love these supernatural stories in the Bible, you know, and God does all sorts of mysterious and incredible things. And that's true. Think about it. After John the Baptist was beheaded and Jesus rose from the dead, Herod imprisoned James, the half-brother of Jesus, and put him to death. And then his plan was to go after Peter. He was planning the same death for Peter, the gang leader, so to speak. Yet God delivered Peter from the hands and literal next day death. So was James wrong and Peter right? No, 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 no. Did God love Peter more than James? No, of course not. God has sovereign purposes, and that's the point I'm trying to make. So if you lost a loved one, if you lost a child, we can't begin to imagine the mind of God. The thing you have to do, though, is surrender to the sovereign purposes of God in your life. Are you willing to let God be God? Are you? Are you willing to have no if not clauses in your faith? Are you willing to just take it as it comes? Are you willing to dwell among the others? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, I think it was, the ones that got all the bad end of the deal, if and when necessary. Do you want a faith to escape, or do you want his saving faith to endure? Do you want a faith to be healed? Or how about his saving faith, capable of healing others, even if you aren't? So do you really want to operate as a vessel in this world for the sovereignty of God? Do you want to be able to walk up to somebody and lay your hands on them and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed? Is that you, folks? Well, if that's you, embrace what the prophet Habakkuk said in 3:17, when that fig's not blossoming, you know? When that fruit tree's not bearing any fruit and those vines are all dry and the olive tree fails and the fields yield no meat and the flocks cut off from the fold and there's no herd in the stalls, in that moment you need to rejoice in the Lord and rejoice to our Savior. So this is what I'm talking about here, folks. And this only happens if we operate in his saving faith and believe in the supernatural power of God and never diminish or allow that power of God to be diminished by some rational explanation. His saving faith also bows to the sovereignty and the purposes of God. So when the bad comes and you lose a loved one, when the bad comes and you lose your job, don't look at your circumstances. Look up, get on your knees, and praise the Lord. And then finally, I want to wrap this up, folks, with the third attribute, the third concept you need to embrace when you're operating in the saving faith of Jesus Christ. And that's one based upon the settled promises of God. So each promise of God, and you've probably heard this before if you're a Christian, are yea and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I have an amen out there for that, folks? The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 11, verses 39 and 40, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that's you and me, folks, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, we've already learned what that promise is. But did you know that every promise of God truly is yea and amen? So what exactly does that mean? Well, one of these days, God's going to bring it all together, and God's going to fulfill his promises to them and to you and me. I'm telling you, folks, God keeps all of his promises. God cannot lie, and he will not fail. So all these people in the Old Testament had a saving faith, even though they did not have the saving faith in Jesus Christ. So even though they didn't have the answer in hand when they went to their Lord, they did possess it in their hearts. And they based their saving faith on steadfast promises of God contained in his word. So in other words, they had an eye upon the future. So we measure life by what we eat and drink and whether we're merry or sad. And when the stock market crashes, like it will, when the food sources all kind of evaporate and the water dries up, people are going to be jumping off bridges, off buildings, just like they did during the stock market crash before the Great Depression. And why? Because of where they placed their trust. Because of what faith they're operating in. You know, when you fall in love and get married, sooner or later you may sit in an empty family room looking at pictures on the wall. Life's fickle, you know. A tragedy may happen. You may lose your whole family in a car crash. What then? Well, unless you're resting on the great eternal promises of God, probably not going to operate in victory. So the point I'm trying to make, folks, that if all your money's lost, remember that's not the greatest treasure of all. If you never become rich and famous, remember that's not what others really truly need to see in you. Now, they may measure you by that, but the point I'm trying to make is that if they see that in you, they'll see it in another thousand. What they need to see in you is the light of Christ, not success and fame and money. It's what God thinks about you that really counts too, folks. So if you have a loved one who's abiding in Jesus, living in Jesus, like the vine clings, the branch clings to the vine, remember, there's a homecoming you'll have with them in heaven. God hasn't forgotten one single promise he made to you and me. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I'm telling you, folks, that's a promise from God. So we're going to inherit the earth. So be meek today and see how much more of it you get tomorrow. The psalmist said, by his stripes we are healed. And then Peter rewrote that and said, by his stripes we were healed. I'm telling you, folks, that's a promise of God. So if you pray for your loved ones and they're not healed and they die, was that prayer lost? No, folks. God heard your prayer. Those in heaven are whole. We're the sick ones. We're made like the Lord Jesus Christ. Ever go to an average prayer meeting? What are most people praying for? Well, they're praying for the sick saints more than they pray for the lost souls. So if you really want to see a move of God, pray. Pray for those in bondage. Pray for those that are out there lost. Remember, Jesus was praying, and he said, Father, I pray for those whom thou hast given me, that they may be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory. Remember, folks, we're supposed to be the bride, and Jesus is supposed to be the bridegroom. So don't you think that the bridegroom wants to be with the bride? Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. Yet at times, we seem to get everything upside down. So, message on the supernatural power of God and the sovereign purposes of God and the steadfast promises of God by telling you about a letter that was written to Pastor Adrian Rogers by one of his students back in 1981. And it was written by his student, who was named John C. Hutchinson, Jr. And he titled it, Why I Follow Christ. So I don't know if I'm going to actually read this, but I just want to share. You know, he starts with, you know, talking about statistical evidence that fewer Christians don't die of cancer than non-believers. And they're not immune to a greater degree of diseases that afflict the human race. And some of the kindest, most selfless people I've known have had more of their share of bad health than non-believers. The fact that they belong to Christ did not insulate them from disease. Therefore, I won't follow Christ for promised healings. I will not deny nor dispute evidence of restoration of health. However, I would I'll rejoice at every recovery that seems to be supernatural and a miracle, and I won't hesitate to pray for the recovering health of people, my loved ones and acquaintances, but I'm not going to set limits on what God may do, and I'll follow Christ regardless. Then he goes on to apply this to disasters and accidents, the same line of thinking. And then he says the same thing concerning prosperity. And then this is what he wraps up with. Oh, well, he also goes on to apply it to personalities and just the way we fit into society. And then he goes on and concludes with this powerhouse. There's one reason and one reason alone that I believe. Because in Jesus we behold the face of God. He is the truth, the everlasting truth, God in the flesh. I know that in this, that in his life, death, and resurrection, I am reconciled to God, the giver of life. I believe that nothing can separate us from the love of God. He has all power and goodness, and I trust him and his promises. To him I offer my life, damaged or whole, brief or full of years, it matters not. He is the one certain thing in an uncertain world. And folks, who can deny that we're in an uncertain world? He is to be worshipped, not so something will happen to me or to the world. Something already has happened to me in the world, but because he is God, who through Christ has reconciled the world to himself. He saves me. He is my justification. He is the center that holds. To worship the God of our salvation, to offer sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving, that alone is our vocation. We offer our lives to God, not so as to be healthy, wealthy, or wise, not even to gain the strength to do the great things of him. We offer our lives to him because he alone has claim upon us. God is not a means to an end. And to that, folks, I say amen. So when your faith seems to fail, it may be that you're not asking God for his gift of faith, and you're trying to get your carnal measure of faith to do something that God really never intended it to do. All he wanted that measure of faith to do is for you to call out to him and say, Lord, save me. So now that you know what it means to operate in the gift of his saving faith, now that you know it means that his saving faith believes in the supernatural power of God, now that you know that his saving faith bows to the sovereign purposes of God, and now that you know that you can have it grounded in these steadfast promises of God, what more could you want in this world, folks? What more do you need in this world? This is the greatest thing of all, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and know that you'll be saved. It's that sweet and that simple, folks. And that's one of the most wonderful promises given us. Now, folks, I love you all. Provided the Lord is willing, I'll be here next week. But go out now in this faith. Go out in this faith. And in the words of Winston Churchill, never give in, never, no, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in. Except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And folks, remember that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, that same power, the Spirit of Christ, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit of the Most High God, he lives in you and me. And he wants to do a mighty work in us, so surrender to him and allow him to work. I love you all.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overtaken.
urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times you are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and his victory is in Jesus.